Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
All right, we started the hour with Michael Curry, CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers and a member of the state's COVID-19 Vaccine Advisory Group. Michael, you're still with us, yes?
I am.
Great. So in a minute, we're going to talk to two healthcare workers with whom we spoke last spring about what it's like to be on the front lines fighting the pandemic. Before we talk to them, I want to ask you, this time last year and in the ensuing months, really, you know, February, March, April, what were you hearing from staff and community health centers in our area?
Yeah, they were in turmoil, right? They were, like the hospitals, dealing with precipitous declines in revenue as they were, health centers were not seeing patients coming into sites. We hadn't fully adopted telehealth, meaning we, society, hadn't fully adopted telehealth. In fact, there were many people like Mass League of Community Health Centers and the Mass Hospital Association and others trying to urge us to move forward. I use the term quantum leap. We needed a leap forward to adopt this technology, and the pandemic was forcing us to do it on a dime. But in the interim, precipitous declines in revenue, potential closures, dealing with the response to the patients that were now getting ill and getting them the care and directing them either to treatment or getting them into the emergency rooms was really driving many of our healthcare professionals to the brink in this crisis. And then we were really responding to the many needs of local public health departments that needed us to not only treat our patients, but to be part of the DCU Center or the Convention Center here in Boston or the nursing homes and the other settings where folks didn't have any infrastructure to respond to the testing and the contact tracing. There's a lot that's happened, Tiziana, over last year. I do say, with Dr. Betancourt no longer with us on the call, but to all you providers, you nurses, you doctors at community health centers, at the hospitals and in other settings, that image that my son brought into my room of all of the superheroes lining the hallway and then the providers walking down the hallway and they're all bowing to them and applauding, that's real. That we never probably took the time to just pause and appreciate that we're asking them to even risk their lives during this pandemic. And I don't want to lose sight of that, particularly for the 52 health centers across the state serving over 1 million patients and those healthcare workers that are also on the front line.
Well, Michael, that sets us up perfectly for this next conversation. I'm going to ask you to stand by while we turn to two of those heroes. We talked with two particular healthcare providers last spring that stuck in our mind as we were preparing for today. One became a reflection in April from Dr. Benjamin Linus, who is an infectious disease physician. He reflected after working a 72-hour shift that he called the hardest thing he had ever done in medicine.
It's hard at a lot of levels. The obvious that the volume is very high and it's just a lot of work. But beyond, it's also just like how much COVID there is. And usually on a regular day of work, I go around, I look at infections, I see different things. And this is just, you know, COVID case after COVID case.
And we also heard then from Marlena Pellegrino, a nurse at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester. She told us back in May what it felt like walking into the hospital every day at the height of the first wave.
You're entering a very unknown situation. It's like a war zone. You don't know what you're going to be hit with at any given moment. Things can change. They evolve very quickly, minute to minute, hour to hour. You don't have the proper tools that you need. Sometimes you don't have the exact support that you need, but you have one another.
So Dr. Linus and Nurse Pellegrino, they've joined us again now. And just quickly again, Dr. Linus is an infectious disease physician and associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the Boston University School of Medicine. And Nurse Marlena Pellegrino is a frontline medical surgical nurse at St. Vincent Hospital and co-chair of the nurse's local bargaining unit with the Massachusetts Nurses Association at her hospital. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. It's good to be here.
So it's a year later, Dr. Linus, is that what's on your mind? Do you have the ability to reflect to a year ago, or are you still just taking it day to day?
Perhaps a little bit of both. I think we're all taking it somewhat day to day these days, but I think it's important to look up and reflect at important anniversaries like this. And it has been quite a year. We've come so far. I think we're still deep in this pandemic and all of us wish that we were not, but I also think a lot has changed. And I was thinking back and hearing my voice from a year ago and reflecting on what is different now. And we really have, you know, back then, it just hearing those words reminded me of just the overwhelming volume that we were seeing and this perfect storm of work and volume. We didn't really have any effective therapies at that point. There was so much uncertainty about what this disease was and what it was not. And that led to a lot of fear, both for our patients and also for ourselves. And, you know, when I think back to that, it's pretty traumatic. And today, things are still upsetting, but I do feel like we've come far in the hospital, and we're continuing to work hard, and everyone sees the data that there's still a lot of people coming to the hospital with COVID. But we have a little bit less uncertainty, and we do have effective treatments now, and there's certainly less fear and a little bit less chaos. And those things really make all the difference. And so we're continuing to work hard, but I think we've made a lot of progress, and if we keep on going on this path, we'll get there eventually.
And how about you, Nurse Marlena Pellegrino? Does it feel less chaotic? I mean, I'm struck by the phrase war zone. You felt like you were in a war zone then.
Yes, we did. And it seems like we had a little bit of a lull there towards the summer. But with the second surge, right now it feels like we, at least from my experience in my hospital and from nurses I've talked to, we've been a little bit less prepared for this second surge than we thought we would. We learned a lot, but we have a lot less staffing at the bedside during this surge. It's still a roller coaster and very grueling. We do know what we need to do. It's just that we don't have the exact support in the staff at the bedside. We're doing the best we can, but it's been... it's an honor to go into work, and it feels like it's the place you want to be. And it doesn't feel like a year went by, but also it's still a scary prospect entering the hospital and not knowing if you're going to have enough nurses or just ancillary staff at the bedside to meet your patient's needs. And the patients remain acutely ill. You still see people, you know, to remind people who are not on the inside of the hospital, the COVID patients, how isolated they are behind closed doors, lonely, afraid, some are confused, needing extra care, extra hands, you know, extra touch. And we're not able to get in those rooms fast enough that from a nurse's perspective, that's very difficult. But, you know, we're staying hopeful, of course, and nurses do. But it's been very traumatizing to continue to work this way, and you know, we're looking for improvements, hopefully coming soon. But we've sounded the alarm, and you know, we're hoping that our hospital corporation and other healthcare corporations across the country are taking the concerns and the questions and the advice and the expertise of nurses seriously.
And I know that your nurses association is in negotiations now with St. Vincent Hospital, and I know that staffing has been a part of that picture. Dr. Linus, I want to turn back to you. It was encouraging. That's a tough picture that Marlena was just painting. She also did say she's staying hopeful. Are you feeling hopeful after a year of this? Even though probably last spring, none of us thought, I don't think we really thought we'd still be here in February 2021.
No, certainly not. I was laughing with a friend or reminiscing with a colleague that, you know, at the beginning of a research project, we were starting at some point in March or very early April. And someone was saying, well, but right, is this really going to be worth doing? Because if this is over in, say, 3 to 6 weeks of isolation, like, what's the message from this project for the next time? Right? And in hindsight, it just seems so silly and naive. I am hopeful. I think it's hard to be all sunshine and these days. And there's a lot of challenges out ahead of us still. But I also have been amazed over the course of this by a few things, including... some of the ingenuity of science, and I really do think that, for example, the invention of the vaccine, though not a panacea, and it's not just going to end this the way that we wish that it would, it is one of the shining scientific achievements of humanity, I would argue. And I remember going for my first dose of vaccine, feeling somewhat overwhelmed by that and seeing the people and recognizing what an incredible achievement of discovery in science this really was. And it does give us hope. And I think that I've also been inspired by the fact that it's been dicey at times, and COVID has really wrenched a lot of tears in the fabric of our society. but it's also brought us together in a lot of ways. And there are some silver linings of people working together to try to overcome hardship. And I think if we can grab onto those memories and those role models and keep on persevering, we do have a vaccine now. We are beginning to have effective treatments. And I don't think anyone knows exactly how this looks in the end game, but I think it's possible to start imagining an end game now. And that's new for us, right? It was difficult to imagine even the end game back in the fall.
Marlena, thinking about that end game, I know this may sound like a silly question, but when the day comes when you can pick your head up again and not think about this all the time and be past it a little, what do you most look forward to then?
I look forward to going into work as I normally do, but I look forward to the day when, like yesterday when I was at work, just one example, we had a COVID patient on our floor, which I don't work on a particular COVID unit. We have COVID patients mixed in on my unit. And he's this certain patient is elderly, and he's been in isolation, alone, you know, and confused, and English is the second language. And he's been that way for 14 days. And yesterday when I went in, he was finally taken off his COVID isolation precautions, which means that we could walk into the room as we normally do, you know, walk through a door that's not open without our PPE on, without our mask, our shield. It looks like a full hazmat suit. When actually I went in and I touched his hand, you know, without a glove on, I looked into his eyes, we talked, even though, you know, he might have not understood. I could see that he understood, that he could look in my eyes and I could look in his. And that happened right at the beginning of my shift. And all of my coworkers who have been taking care of this patient, all of us have had a turn at taking care of him. We were able to go in and just be with him and just talk to him and laugh. He could see our faces without the mask on. And I think nurses, we just say, isn't it a relief to just be able to walk into our patient's room at any time they need us, without taking 5 or 6 minutes to put all of our PPE on, without worrying that our other patients aren't going to be seen, because we can at least come out of the room quickly. And, you know, it's the simple things of being able to just walk through a doorway and actually see your patient.
I got to tell you
that it just hit me that, I mean, there's a lot of things, but that just hit me. I was able to talk with this man and, and touch him and see him. And he saw me.
Marlena, that's the vision, right? That really sits home. And that is Marlena Pellegrino. She's a frontline medical surgical nurse at St. Vincent Hospital, also co-chair of the Nurses Local Bargaining Unit with the Massachusetts Nurses Association at St. Vincent's. Also, we've just heard from Dr. Benjamin Linus, who's an infectious disease physician and associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the Boston University School of Medicine. Hey, thank you both for everything you've done in the last year and for spending time with us as we all reflect on this year together.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I'm going to turn back now to you, Michael Curry, CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers. We have just a couple minutes here, and I got a couple things I want to talk to you about. So briefly, a reflection on what we just heard from Dr. Linus and Nurse Pellegrino.
I think, you know, I couldn't help but go back to my spiritual side, and I thought to myself, but for the grace of God go I. As I think about the work that they both do, about the patients they've seen, about the lives that have been lost, it struck me as I listened to both of them, the challenge that we still have ahead of us. But, you know, we have a different world when you have to prepare to go into a room to provide care. And we'll be here for a while. And we'll be here again. Even if we get through this pandemic, we'll be here again with the next pandemic. So, you know, I'm just extremely thankful, one, to have my immediate family being healthy, but I realize and recognize that that can go and be taken away at any moment. I just think all of us should take pause, listen to the doctor and the nurse, and think about how fortunate we are. And for those who, as our new president, President Biden says, there's an empty chair in our homes, in many of our homes right now, and there are people that are mourning and have a loss. And I pray for them as well.
And in our last minute, before we say goodbye to you and go to a break, after the break, we're going to talk with Dr. Dan Baruch, the director of the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel. They were the design lab for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which, if approved for emergency use, it would be single dose. It wouldn't require the specialty freezing that the two current vaccines do. How much of a difference could that make? How much of a game changer could it be for low-income populations, populations of color, neighborhood health centers, to get that vaccine out there?
Tiziana, it would be a huge game changer, as many providers, particularly in rural areas and urban areas, are not getting access to this vaccine as quickly as we need to get it out. So I think Johnson & Johnson provides a great opportunity for us. But I would caution, Tiziana, and I think this is a conversation to happen over the next few months. There's an equity challenge, too, to Pfizer, which is 95% effective. Moderna, which is 94.5 or whatever that number is, and then Johnson & Johnson being less effective, but effective in the range that typically vaccines are. But we have to be cautious about where we put vaccines that are most effective. And I don't want to relegate poor communities or rural communities to the Johnson & Johnson. We need to find a way to get Pfizer, Moderna to those same communities, to those same patients, to those same arms. And not be stuck with just one vaccine.
All right. Michael Curry, CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers. Thanks for reflecting with us today.
Thank you.